Good afternoon, and thank you very much for joining us here at Sun Sounds for the Tuesday, May 20th edition of the East Valley News. I'm J.W. Nicholas, your reader for the next half hour, and we'll be looking at some news from the past week in Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. And we'll begin at the Chandler Arizonan with an article by Paul Mareniak, Arizonan Executive Editor, Tempe Union beefing up school camera security. Tempe Union High School District is beefing up its eyes on campuses, spending just over $2.11 million to install 10 cameras at each of its six schools. The governing board, without discussion last month, approved the contract with Avela LLC, a Chandler security company founded in 2018 by Andy McQueen and Tracy Castle, who boast a combined 50 years of experience after having worked on large national security systems. Tempe Union Purchasing Director Patricia Criswell told the board in a brief menu that the district in December notified 6,183 vendors of its interest in enhancing and updating its existing camera system, and that Avela submitted the best proposal out of 19 bidders. The purchasing department, in collaboration with the evaluation committee, consisting of personnel from district safety and security, district operations, safety and student support, maintenance and plant operations, and IT, reviewed the proposals and determined Avela LLC to be the most advantageous due to their proposed solution and implementation plan, experience and qualifications, cost, references, and support and service capabilities, she wrote. The purchase covers indoor and outdoor cameras, network video recorders, mounting equipment, and labor. Current cameras have been in place since 2012, and NVRs, recorders, were purchased in 2013-14, Criswell's memo stated. The incorporation of the new equipment will assist in further enhancing the district's comprehensive school safety plan by promoting a positive learning environment and ensuring students, parents, staff, and visitors not only feel safe, but are safe, the memo also said. The district also had sought video management software supporting an unrestricted number of users, devices, servers, and sites within Tempe Union that could be expandable to all schools and office sites in the district, it added, noting the district sought future product enhancements allowing standardization and sustainability well into the future. Criswell also said the proposal met two district initiatives, financial responsibility and transparency, and one for climate and culture. The latter initiative states the district will continually cultivate mutual trust, positive engagement, and both physical and psychological safety within our school communities in order to provide an inclusive, equitable, and diverse environment. Assistant Superintendent Sean McDonald, who among other duties spearheads the district's safety plan, said, "We average about 90 cameras per high school, some more or less due to square footage. We will be adding an average of 10 cameras more per site for an average of 100 cameras per site." While security cameras are confidentially positioned in hallways, corridors, gymnasiums, cafeterias, and other places, McDonald stressed, cameras are not in classrooms, locker rooms, bathrooms, and private areas. The district also is part of the City of Tempe's Real-Time Operations Center that debuted last year. It connects police with hundreds of public cameras throughout the city and many of the three public schools in Tempe. But the school tie-in is far from complete, at least in Tempe Union's case. At this time, the City of Tempe is adding cameras to the RTOC in phases. Tempe Union currently has 25% of high-profile cameras online and will move forward with Phase 2 shortly, McDonald said. He said he hopes to add another 25% of Tempe Union's cameras to the city center, which is not manned round the clock. Under agreements with the city approved by the governing boards of the three Tempe-based school districts, school officials have complete decision-making over what footage they will share with the Real-Time Operations Center, even to the point that they can shut off access during an incident being recorded. Both the city and the districts have stressed that the Real-Time Operations Center does not use the school cameras for continuous surveillance of campuses. Rather, the RTOC would make a request for access to a camera or set of cameras during an emergency incident or in cases where a public event might need to be monitored for the safety of a visiting high-profile dignitary. The founders of Ivala boast on their website that they formed their company because they felt that other security integrators had become somewhat primordial with security system choices and configurations. They also say that Ivala believes that the security industry needed a new customer-focused mantra complemented by security solutions and designs that meet the exact needs of each individual customer and their particular facilities. In our next article, we stick with the Chandler Arizonan and also with Paul Mariniak, Arizonan Executive Editor. Chandler Complex sold for $90.5 million. A Chandler apartment complex that last sold in 2015 for $39.25 million changed owners for more than twice that amount last month. New York-based real estate investment and management company TGM Associates bought the Ocotillo Bay Apartments at 1889 West Queen Creek Road for $90.5 million, according to commercial real estate tracker Vizda.com. Built in 1997 for a cost of about $19 million, according to Vizda, the complex near Dobson Road comprises 296 units in 21 two-story buildings on nearly 19 acres, with a mix of 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom apartments, 2 outdoor pools, and a 4,176-square-foot clubhouse. The sale broke down to a $330 square foot and $305,743 per unit, Vizda said. Organized in 1991, TGM has made 142 property acquisitions throughout 28 states, with aggregate purchase prices of approximately $3.7 billion. Reports said the acquisition marks TGM's re-entry into the Valley, where TGM has invested in the past and has bought and sold complexes with a total of about 2,300 units. Completed in 1997 and partially renovated in 2015, the complex also boasts an outdoor fireplace and grill area, bocce ball court, and fitness center. We believe the design, layout, and construction of the apartments are excellent, with 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom apartments, TGM said in announcing its purchase, adding it plans renovations of the apartments with new kitchen cabinets, countertops, appliances, flooring, lighting, and hardware features. Bathrooms will be renovated to match the finishes of the kitchen, it said, adding it also plans to transform the current clubhouse with modern state-of-the-art amenities. We believe TGM Ocotillo Bay is an excellent community with exceptional bones and an irreplaceable lakefront location. The community presented the ideal opportunity to re-enter the Phoenix market, said TGM's managing principals, Zach Goldman and John Gochberg. We look forward to implementing our signature renovation strategy to add value for our residents and investors alike. The purchase comes at a time when building permits for new apartment complexes in the Valley have plummeted. The Cromford Report 2 weeks ago said construction permits for multifamily properties in Maricopa and Pinal counties collapsed during the first quarter to the lowest quarterly count since Q1 2019, 6 years ago. The Census Bureau reported only 2,195 compared with 4,390 in the first quarter of 2024. We have witnessed a steep downward trend in multifamily permits over the last year and a half as investors have appeared to lose much of their enthusiasm for this particular real estate sector in Greater Phoenix and elsewhere, it added. While plenty of apartment projects already have been given a green light in East Valley cities, the National Association of Home Builders reported a mixed outlook in the first quarter of 2025 nationwide for multifamily development. That outlook was first signaled by the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, or Freddie Mac, which in January reported, based on the assumption of an economic soft landing, we expect the multifamily market to continue to see subdued but positive growth in 2025 as the high levels of new units are absorbed. Although demand has been quite strong recently, high levels of supply are keeping vacancy rates elevated and rent growth muted. It also said supply is still the major factor impacting the multifamily market, but it is a short-term factor. By 2026, it is expected to abate to levels similar to before the pandemic. Overall, despite some short-duration obstacles, the multifamily market is poised for continued growth as there is an overall shortage of housing, an expensive for-sale market, and demographic trends expected to support demand for rental housing. In February, the National Association of Home Builders projected that multifamily construction will decline again in the first half of 2025 before moving back to long-term trends toward the end of the year as the market works through a substantial number of units under construction. In addition to supply chain problems and high interest rates, it said the overall housing market continues to face challenges with the cost and availability of labor and developed lots, along with elevated building material prices. But it also was buoyed by a low national unemployment rate and a potential influx of young adults as they enter the housing market. Currently, the number of young adults ages 25 to 34 living with their parents are at elevated levels, Molly Bessel, senior principal economist at CoreLogic, told the association. Pent-up demand for multifamily housing will continue to build as these young adults move out of their parents' houses. Multifamily News, which covers commercial real estate, said 2 weeks ago that new apartment construction fell in the first quarter of 2025 by 36.4% from the first quarter of 2024 and was down 40.7% from the peak in 2022. But it noted, completions remain elevated largely due to long construction timelines and residual momentum from the 2021 through 23 development boom. The impact of fewer building permits being issued current so far this year could result in what CBRE's 2025 multifamily forecast said last December. As the construction pipeline shrinks, strong renter demand will lower the vacancy rate and precipitate above average rent growth in 2026. The wide monthly premium between buying and renting a home will preserve existing renter demand in 2025. Many would-be homebuyers will remain dissuaded by high home prices and mortgage rates, making home ownership even more difficult for renters. Nearly 80% of all current homeowners have mortgage rates below 5% and will remain reluctant to sell in an ongoing high interest rate environment. This challenge will remain even more pronounced in many of the largest markets, where the average monthly cost of buying a house is forecasted to be 2 to 3 times more than the average rent in 2025. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your reader, J.W. Nicholas, and we're looking at news of the past week from Chandler, Gilbert, and Sun Lakes. As a quick reminder, if you missed any part of this program or others you may enjoy on Sun Sounds, you can access all of them anytime on demand on our website at www.sunsounds.org. Find them under broadcast info and audio. And now we'll move along to our next story from the Sun Lake Splash by Leonard Horst. Message from the President. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the month of May. We have completed a very busy spring season, and I will recap some of the key events for you. We held our annual board elections on March 12th. There were 4 highly qualified candidates running for 2 open seats this year. The final results are in, and Pat Duncan and Gene Nelson were elected to 3-year terms on the HOA board. We are excited to welcome them and look forward to their contributions as they continue their service to our association. I was disappointed in the voter turnout, which is only 37.7% of eligible voters. The role your elected board members play in the long-term success of this association is critical, and we will do our best to get more information out and encourage more folks to participate in the future. The board elected its officers for the coming year, and they include Len Horst, President, Marty Nielsen, Vice President, Pat Duncan, Treasurer, and Tammy Ronfelt, Secretary. We had a special election on April 12th with 2 important items on the ballot. I am pleased to report that the turnout for this ballot was 59.5% of all eligible voters. The first item on the ballot was to retain our public roadway regulations. This was passed with a 93.3% yes vote. This will enable us to continue controlling our streets as we have for the past several decades. The second item on the ballot was to approve an assessment in the amount of $635 per lot to support funding of the replacement of the Cottonwood Pool. This vote was also passed by a 2-to-1 margin, yes vote. And we are pleased to proceed at full speed on this large project. Please watch for continuing updates on the project in all our channels of communication. We are saying goodbye to many of our homeowners this month as they head back to cooler climates. We wish them all safe travels and a wonderful summer with family and friends. For those who live here year-round, we wish you a safe and enjoyable summer season. Our amenities and activities will continue to be available, and we trust you will enjoy each one. And next we move along to Gilbert, looking at the Gilbert Sun News, an article by GSN News staff. Firefighter's death stuns community. A 35-year Mesa firefighter died on duty last week, it was announced. Mark Keller, 62, who lived in Gilbert, was found dead the morning of May 6th. Details of his death were not released. "My heart is with the Keller family in this difficult time," said Fire Chief Mary Camelli in a news release. "We are deeply saddened by the loss." According to the department, Keller began his career with Mesa Fire and Rescue in 1990. Keller's death hit home for Mayor Mark Freeman, a firefighter who worked with him. "As a retired Mesa Fire Captain Paramedic, Mark and I served together for many years, and I had the privilege of witnessing his dedication to our community firsthand," Freeman said. "I extend my heartfelt condolences to the Keller family, his crew, and all members of the Mesa Fire and Medical Department. Mark's legacy will continue to inspire us all." A day after Keller's passing, hundreds of tributes and condolences had already poured into the department's Facebook page and other social media platforms. Keller was well-liked by all and described as jovial and supportive. "This breaks my heart," wrote Jolene Stonebreaker Stratton. "We met him last summer when he responded to our 9/11 call when my son was choking on food. He was the nicest person. At the hospital, he invited us to come see him at the fire station that coming weekend. We went there, and he gave us a tour. We were so grateful for his help on one of our scariest days." Steve Petronsky called Keller a good-hearted man who will be missed dearly. "Mark and his team responded and helped give my mom another 5 years with us," Petronsky said. Daniel Poilot said some of his fondest memories during his short tenure with Mesa Fire were roving into and being tempted with Mark and the crews at Station 206. "The brotherhood feeling was strong there at that time," Poilot said. "As I see how many posts and pictures are being shared, it really speaks to the type of man, friend, and firefighter he was. I'm really shocked and saddened to receive this news, but it was a privilege to get to know him, laugh with him, and work alongside him. Rest in peace, Mark." Andrew Hill said he was fortunate enough to have run a handful of 9/11 calls with Keller. "Mark was such a nice human, very kind, sincere, and cared for his patients and his community," he said. Mike Agard, a fellow long-term firefighter, said it was his absolute honor to have worked with Keller. "You will be deeply missed and never forgotten," Agard said. "Your love for the job and passing on all your knowledge onto the younger generation says the type of person you were. You were one of the best. We'll take it from here, my friend." And next, we'll also stick with the Gilbert Sun News, an article by the GSN News staff. Gilbert woman opens ice cream shop. Holly Scarbeck has started a cool Gilbert business. She recently opened Stella's Ice Cream Gilbert at 3919 East Williamsfield Road, number 103, offering old-school ice cream where it was made in a batch freezer. "Our equipment manufacturer dates back over 100 years," said her husband, Evan, adding, "My wife and I will be manning the store full-time. My wife is the brains of the operation. I am merely her chauffeur." He also was her spokesman as she was too busy making ice cream, which she promised has no nitrogen infusion or sexy dots or shaved ice, just traditional ice cream from a local dairy farm. The store also offers homemade cookies, brownies, cakes, and a variety of cones that pair nicely with the ice cream, he said. The Gilbert store is the Second Valley location for Stella's, which was founded by a couple in Idaho in 2018. Evan, a recently retired Navy officer, and his wife have lived in Gilbert for 3 years. We were stationed here on military orders, he said. Holly is strategy consultant for a management consulting firm. In some ways, it was destiny that brought Stella's and the Scarbecks together. My wife and I met over ice cream as a first date, and we're always traveling to compare flavors at shops, he said, echoing the franchise founders, who said that before they had children, they traveled miles around Idaho for the best desserts. Evan added that when he was undergoing chemotherapy after a cancer diagnosis in 2022, ice cream was one of the only food items I could eat as a treat to help keep my weight up to receive the treatment needed. It's always been part of our relationship, he said of ice cream. My wife is an entrepreneur at heart, and when the idea of bringing traditional ice cream to Gilbert with a new look, she jumped right in to make this dream a reality. Stella's Ice Cream Gilbert partners with a dairy farm that produces its proprietary dairy mix that the Scarbecks use to produce their ice cream. Every batch is made fresh, Evan said. This helps us ensure the ice cream we serve is always fresh and makes for the best product. We also love partnering with local farmers and small business owners wherever we can. Is the process a little arduous and more difficult? Absolutely, he added. However, it is very much worth it. The couple have been working on their store for well over a month as they took it from a shell to a brightly colored venue. But, Evan said, my personal greatest challenge in this endeavor has been learning to remain flexible. Every day brings a new set of challenges. Leaning into these challenges and realizing they present an opportunity to find a solution and a way forward is a mindset that I wish I could have adjusted to sooner. As my wife always tells me, everything is figure-outable. In the competitive environment spawned by ice cream, Evan added, I think our commitment to do the common uncommonly well is what sets us apart. We believe ice cream shouldn't be just a treat. It should be an experience, he said. It's a time for the family to come together for a special outing, whether it's after a baseball game, family event, or even just a long week at work or school. Ice cream is for everyone, every day. We look forward to the opportunity to bring smiles to those in our community. For more information, you can visit facebook.com/Stella's Ice Cream Gilbert. Your next article, also from the Gilbert Sun News, and again, also by the GSN News staff. Higley Unified School District celebrates teachers. Higley Unified School District has named its Outstanding Educators with Teacher of the Year awards, selecting one educator for each of its schools. The awardees were selected by a district panel from nominations submitted by each school. In addition to the site-specific awardees, the district also picked an elementary and secondary teacher of the year. Those awards went to Margaret Silva, a 6th grade English language arts teacher at Bridges Elementary School, who was named Elementary Teacher of the Year, and Taylor Vickers, a 7th, 8th grade science teacher at Cooley Middle School, who was named Teacher of the Year for secondary schools. These awards celebrate exceptional educators who consistently go above and beyond in their dedication to teaching, the district said in a release. Through their commitment to academic excellence and personalized learning, these outstanding teachers help shape the future by preparing learners. The district called Silva and Vickers remarkable individuals for their contributions to education and the impact they make in their schools and to their students every day. Other winners of the Teacher of the Year awards at their respective schools are Sarah Casamento, Centennial Elementary, Robin Nelson, Chaparral Elementary, Jennifer Ignacio, Coronado Elementary, Mina Cosme, Cortina Elementary, Julie Ringel, Gateway Point Elementary, Nicole Payne, Higley Traditional Academy, Lindsay Crawford, Power Ranch Elementary, Sarah Ballard, Santan, Lena DiBartolomeo, Sossaman Middle School, Christy McCullough, Cooley Early Childhood Development Center, Stephen Neal, Higley High, Allison Locke, Williams Field High. The award sponsor was Concord General Contracting. Other sponsors included DLR Group, IGPA, Uru Auto, and Pueblo Mechanical. Thank you again for joining me today for the East Valley News for Chandler and Gilbert and Sun Lakes. We truly hope you enjoy the programs and information we bring you on Sun Sounds. We volunteers enjoy bringing it to you. Two quick reminders. First, you can find all of our programs anytime online on our website at www.sunsounds.org. Find them all under broadcast info and audio. And second, you can always find us on any of your connected devices streaming via our Sun Sounds of Arizona mobile app, available for Apple and Android phones and tablets. Once again, I'm your volunteer reader, J.W. Nicholas. Please stay tuned for the Arizona Republic, coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.